Accession number 27097, Reel 1.
James Grattan, Reel 1. So can you tell me first of all where you were born?
Where I was born was Withycombe, 1990.
Yes, in Somerset.
Somerset, yeah.
And what did your father do?
My father was an agricultural worker.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had two brothers and one sister.
And where did you come in the family?
I was the last one.
And where did you go to school?
Went to school at Washford.
Mm-hmm. And did you like school?
Not very much.
And what age did you leave school?
14. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what had you done in your spare time when you were a child? Because I expect living was quite difficult, was it? Not much money.
Well, there wasn't much doings around. I was very interested in sport, and I was very good at sport. But other than that, I left school at 14.
And what did you want to do? Did you have any ambitions?
I did, but there wasn't things around to do then at that time, you know. It was a really dull period, you know, that we were living in. My first job was I went gardening at the rectory at Oakleigh, and I stayed there. Then I worked from Mr. Lysite, Gerald Lysite, the millionaire down at Oakleigh. And then I went and worked for Mrs. Critchley Samonson at Billbrook, and the war broke out.
Right. And the Lysites you worked for, was that L-Y-S-A-G-H-T? Was it those publishers?
Yes, yeah.
One of their grandsons is the racing correspondent for the BBC now, Cornelius Lysett. He's on the radio. I used to work with him.
Yeah, that's it.
So, did you enjoy being a gardener? Not a lot of money, I expect.
No, there was very little money. That was about the only thing around that, you know, I was would like doing, which I did, you know.
And when war broke out, had you been in the TA or the militia? Or
no. I got called up on the 1st.
The 1st of September?
Yeah.
And where did you have to report to?
I had to report. Where did I report? I went for a medical at Exeter. And I reported to Yeovil.
Right. And that was in September, was it?
That was in February.
In February, right? Do you remember that going on that journey to Yeovil? Did you go on the train?
Yes. Yeah, I went on the train.
So that was February 1940, wasn't
it?
So it was quite cold, I imagine.
Yes, it was, yeah. It was February. It was cold at that time, yeah.
And did they meet you at the station?
I was met at the station, yeah, by an officer or a sergeant in the Marines. And the chaps that were on the train, you know, we got into a truck and went to the camp, which was Aunstone Camp.
And why did you join the Marines? Did you choose?
No, I tried to join the Navy, but then at the time they had sufficient, and they suggested I join the Marines, which I did.
Did you know what sort of thing the Marines did at that time?
Yes.
Had you been taking an interest in the war? Had you been following it in the news?
Oh, yeah.
And you volunteered, didn't you? So you wanted to go and join in, did you?
Well, I said I wanted to join. You know, they said, well, you can join the Army or the Marines. And I said, I'll join the Marines, you know.
So do you remember that first night at Yeovil?
Beg pardon?
Do you remember that first night at Yeovil? They had to sort you all out, didn't they? I suppose they have all these young men.
Yeah, I mix very well, always mix very well. And always game for anything, and I remember my first meal at Yeovil was something I detested, which was stewed rabbit.
So the people people you joined up with, I expect they were all from all different places, were
they? Yes, yes.
But they... Had they mostly wanted to join the Navy?
Well, I couldn't speak for them, and that was just my, you know, what I wanted to do, really.
So did they issue you with a uniform straight away?
Yes, we had a uniform straight away, yes.
And what sort of training did they start with?
We had a lot of training on the parade ground, and we had a few forced marches, you know, and whatever. And then June came along and Dunkirk started, and they moved us down to Ringwood in Kent, just off Deal. And we spent, I was there June, July, August, September, about 4 months there. And then the threat of invasion ceased, or wasn't as prominent as what it was when we went there. And we went back to Andover for under canvas for about a week.
Right, I'll just stop you there, because I'd like to know a little bit more about your training at Yeovil.
Oh, yeah.
So you did your square bashing.
Yeah.
And then what sort of weapons did you learn there?
Well, we only had rifles. Yeah. And we were trained on Bren guns and Lewis guns, you know, but nothing like ended up during the end of the war, no.
Right.
Yeah.
And you did a lot of fitness training, did you?
Oh, yes, yeah, yes, yeah.
So were you very fit when you finished there?
Yeah, I was very fit when I started, actually. You know, nothing frightened me, not from the point of view of training, you know. I was always up for it, you know.
Did you do all the swinging from rope?
Yes, yeah.
That was quite tough, I suppose, was it?
It was, yeah. It was different, you know, yeah.
Did everybody manage it, or did some people find it?
Oh, some people found it a bit, much. But I can't remember anyone jacking out. I mean, it was all, you know, they all went through all right, you know.
And so when you went down to Ringwold, were you on a big gun, or what were you doing there?
No, we were down there doing local defences right along the coast. And standing to and rounding up people that crashed out the aircrafts, and ferrying them back. And in actual fact, we got very little sleep while we were there. We were on duty more or less all the daylight hours, and during the night sometimes stand to.
And where exactly were you guarding? Where were you based?
I was based at the vicarage, or near the vicarage, at a lady's called Mrs. Foreman. And there was about 7 or 10 of us in that house next door to her. Yeah. And she was on the farm near the rectory, but our headquarters was a rectory.
Yeah. And you would be guarding the coastline?
The coastline.
With your rifles?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And I expect you saw a lot of the Battle of Britain, did you?
Oh, yes. Every day, all the time. Yeah.
Was that quite frightening? Because they could have...
Well, to us, the aircraft, you know, German aircraft, were flying so low and shooting down the barrage balloons round Dover and all the way around, you know. It was quite hectic, really. And the food was atrocious that we had. We used to have, we fed down the schoolroom, and we used to have herrings and bully beef, day after day, you know. And, of course, sometimes I was detailed, you know, for cleaning up the mess kind of business with the two or three other fellows. And the lady we were next to, Mrs. Foreman, I think she had a good stock of food. Because we used to take the tins that weren't open back to her and give to her, you see. Yeah, yeah, it was quite... Yeah. We went to visit her after the war, didn't we, Enid?
Yes. Yeah. So, quite hard work there, really.
Oh, yes, yes. It was... yeah, there's very little sleep, a lot of activity. And, of course... On a clear day from St. Margaret's Bay, you could look across the channel, you know, and almost see the activities that were going on the other side, you know. One or two scares, you know, during the night, you know, when they thought the Germans were coming. And several stand-tos, you know, that they thought it was going to happen, you know.
Did you think they'd invade?
Well, after Crete, I was convinced that they couldn't invade. But before, it was on the cards. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were the local people, were they quite frightened, do you think?
I think a bit apprehensive about the whole thing, you know, because it... the aircraft was, you know, the German aircraft was so dominant that... you know, they didn't know exactly what was going to happen, not really.
And did you have an airfield near you where they were defending?
Oh, yeah, there were several airfields near us, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And did you see any of our planes shot down?
Oh, yes, many, many. Really? All the fields where we were had a lot of stakes in with wires across, you know, trip wires for the... planes could not really come down and land properly. They tippled over, you know, before they actually came down. Yes. Yeah.
So there was nowhere for a damaged plane to land then, really?
No, and there was some activity of fifth columnists along the coast that we were called out several times.
Were you? What sort of
activity? Well, the people used to report flashing lights across the channel, you know, from this side to the other side, you see. And we had to go out and try and find these guys that were, you know, in favour of the Germans coming rather than, you know.
And did you find any?
No, I can say we never did, but we were called out many times, yeah, yeah.
So there must have been quite a lot of unease, people.
Yes, yeah.
Did you see any crashed German planes?
Oh, yes, many, yes, yeah, yeah.
Did you, yeah. I mean, go up to them or try to rescue the pilot or...?
Oh, yes, we used to round up the pilots, you know, if they were in our vicinity. I'm afraid we used to, I mean, there was quite a few Polish pilots that were... fighting for us that, you know, was picked up and ferried back to the airfields again, you know.
They must have been very shaken.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they were, but they... I always found the Polish people, they were very determined, the pilots that were over here, you know, they wanted to revenge of what had happened into Poland, you know. Yeah.
So you'd spoken to some and they told you that, had they?
Thank you, pardon?
You'd spoken to some Polish pilots.
Oh, a majority couldn't really speak English very much, but their determination, that they only wanted to get back to their unit, you know, if they were shot down, you know.
Do you remember any of the officers or NCOs you had then?
What, in our regiment?
In Ringwald, yeah.
We had a sergeant called Ward, and they used to call him Sharky Ward.
Why was that?
I don't know, that's just a term, I think, you know. Probably all wards are sharkies or something like that, you know. We had gentleman at Minehead now, I think he's still alive, a lieutenant called Bennett. The major was Major Maddox.
Oh, yeah. What was he like?
He was a very good major. Excellent man, yeah.
Was he a regular, was he?
I take it was a regular, yeah. He really stood by his own creed, and he was really top man. He was taken prisoner, but he was...
What was the name of the unit you were with at Ringwald?
What, the Marines?
Yes.
We were the I think it was a 222nd unit. I'm not sure of that.
Right.
I wouldn't like to say.
Yeah. So after Ringwald, you then went...
After Ringwald, we were there, as I said, from June until September, October. Then we went to Andover under canvas for about 2 weeks. Then we went down to Plymouth. Then I was on a site at Tamerton Folliot.
Oh, yeah. Is that near Plymouth, is it?
Yeah, near Plymouth. And I had my first leave from there, and I was given 48 hours leave, went down to Plymouth Station to get on the train. A batch of us, and we were all recalled. We had to go back to the camp, not knowing then what had happened. Then eventually, the following week, we went on leave, just for 48 hours.
Yeah. So why had they recalled you?
Well, I have no idea.
Oh, right.
No, no.
Sort of scared, yeah.
Then... the next thing happened. I had a 48-hour leave. This is the leave that I'm telling you about. Went back to the camp at midnight.
This is at Plymouth, is it?
At Tamerton Folliot.
Yeah.
Found that the lads there was all prepared to move and all had their gear... webbing cleaned up, ready for inspection at the station. And then, of course, it was midnight and I couldn't clean mine. We tried all ways to get it smartened up a bit. Got down to Plymouth Station, inspection on the station, and the next thing I knew, that was the major... tapped me on the back with his cane and said to the sergeant major, take that man's name for a week's extra drill when I got the other end, which I didn't know where we were going. And we landed up then on the train and we went down to Southend-on-Sea. I should have had a week's extra drill, but when I got there, they gave us all leave, a week's leave. Came home and went back after a week. Nothing was said about the extra drovers. Put on the train and we went to Scotland.
Oh, right.
And we sailed from Scotland.
Right, so you went up to Glasgow, was it?
What was the name of the port?
Was it Dungrenna? Was it?
Anyway, we went up to a port up in Scotland.
Right. And that's where
we embarked,
right,
for the Middle East.
Right. Which what was the scene like there when you got off the train? Did you by the docks or?
We got off the train, troop train, and went straight on the ship.
Right. Do you remember the name of the?
Yeah,
ship?
The Rangitata was the ship, and we sailed. In February.
So that'd be nice.
The weather was, at that time, the seas and that, which I hadn't been on, you know, was very rough at the time.
And this ship was packed with people, was it?
Oh, there was, I think there was about, on our ship, there was about 1,200. And we joined a convoy then of about 27 ships.
Huge convoy then.
We sailed and we landed up in, some of the troops got off at, what's the place before Durban?
Sierra Leone?
No, no. Oh, we stopped at Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
To Table Mountain, Cape Town. So, and then we sailed on to Durban, which we had, I think, about a week or 10 days out at Clarewood Racecourse under canvas.
Yeah. What was that like?
That was very nice, and the South African people were excellent to us. Then we went sent down to the docks to get on another ship, which had been transporting Italian prisoners, and the ship was in a terrible state that the troops refused to go on,
really?
get on the ship.
It was dirty.
And it was absolutely filthy. Anyway, we all had a lecture, and the naval ships there was being a bit hostile towards us because we wouldn't get on this ship.
Who was it saying that you wouldn't get on? Was it the officers or?
No, the chief NCOs, you know, were saying, you know, it's not fit for men to get on, you see. But then the officers promised that we wouldn't have to do extra drills on the ship if we got on, you know, and promised us everything, you know. And that ship was the Costa Rica.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have any idea where you were going?
Not a bit, no.
Yeah.
We got
tropical kit, actually.
Yeah, we all had tropical kit. Yeah. Got on the Costa Rica, went up through the Red Sea, up through the Suez, got off at Portside, spent a few days in the desert.
What was that like? Was it a big
camp? Oh, well, it was all different, you know, for us. Then went to Alexandria. Got on a boat there, I forget the name of that one, and was transported then down to Crete.
Had you any idea where you were going?
They told us just before we got to Crete that the Germans had their eye on it. It was very hostile. We were bombed on the way in to Crete. We got off at Crete.
At Souda Bay.
At Souda Bay, and went about 2 or 3 miles up the road into an olive grove.
When you were coming into Souda Bay, what did you see? Were you being bombed then?
Yes, we were bombed, and there was a couple of there was one cruiser that was sunk in the harbour, and it was pretty hostile. I mean, we were machine gunned while we were even on the quayside. We had to dive for it, you know. Then we went into the olive groves. I spent, I think it was 2 or 3 days there. Was on guard duty in the morning, and at 6 o'clock. And on the 20th of May, while I was on duty there, I saw the German invasion start with just... Well, the air was absolutely black with aircraft.
Had you had any idea there was going to be an
invasion? No, not like that anyway, you know.
And you were up above Souda Bay, were you?
Just past Souda Bay in an encampment.
Right.
The invasion started. and about between 6 and 7, there was a DR from an anti-aircraft battery. Had been driving his motorcycle from Suda Bay and had been fired on by these Germans. And he came up to our camp and said that the camp that he, or detachment that he was attached to, had been attacked, and they were killing all the anti-aircraft fellows. And we got in a truck, about 20 of us, and we went to the site and we drove the Germans off.
Do you know which battery that was?
No, it's up at Akrotira. Right. And they lost nearly all their battery there.
You must have been pretty appalled by that. This was the first action you did.
Oh, yes, yeah.
How did you drive? You said you drove the Germans off. You arrived in a lorry. Can you explain to me what
happened? We arrived in this lorry, and when we got there, we found that the Germans were shooting willy-nilly at the remainder of the fellows that was there. That was, they had a house there, an headquarters there, you see. Anyway, we caught the Germans by surprise. One of our officers was wounded there.
So you went at them with your rifle?
Yeah, yes. Yeah,
were they out in the open, or were they behind rocks? Or?
Oh, no, it was, they had like a house, and the anti-aircraft battery was the RAZ headquarters kind of business, and just the grounds around it. But what used to happen, that the Germans, they wouldn't leave you, not for one second. They had domination of the air, that we had no aircraft. And the only thing was that the aircraft realised that there was some fighting going on there, and they came back strafing it, you see. And we found out from one of the Germans that was killed there that we got a swastika. Oh, a swastika is from me to you, the square kind of business.
Oh, right. Huge flag.
Huge flag. And I remember crawling out with a Cypriot that was there to put the flag over the gun sight. Once that was draped over the gun sight, they left us alone. They were flying so low that they could see the flag, and they realised that they seen the swastika, that they thought the Germans had taken it, you see. Well, from then on, it was a question of, well, it was chaotic, because the other thing is, you didn't know whether there was a German in the back of you, a German in the front of you, or a German at the side of you. It was.
So what were you doing? Were you trying to get some cover behind a rock? Or
no, we went from there up towards Malamé, towards the town. And then on the night of the, I think it was around about the 25th, the Navy started shelling Malamé airfield. And these shells were just looping over the top of us, you know, kind of business, into Malamé airfield. And then on the 20, I think it was about the 29th, we were told then that we were being evacuated, or should be evacuated,
right,
on the 29th.
Maurice Grattan, end of reel 1. Maurice Grattan, reel 2. So it's the 29th of May.
Yeah, on the 29th, we were told we were we were starting to evacuate. And
what have you been doing? I mean, from the 20th?